To the book of Proverbs, and I want to begin in chapter 18. This is the second message in this series of the ugly Christmas sweater, and we look at the ugly things that we maybe do in our lives, especially this Advent season. Last week was ugly thoughts, this week is ugly words, and notice I have some livestock to maybe go with that. If you're a farmer, you will definitely get what I'm talking about. Especially those of you that raise hogs. So, all right. So, Proverbs 18, verse 21, then we'll look at Luke. But our main message is going to come out of the book of James here this morning. So, let's read from Proverbs 18, 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. All right. And then turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45. All right. About page 1604, roughly. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And then back to the book of James, further back in the New Testament, about page 1882. And James chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse 3 through 12. And James is speaking to the church here, and they're fairly new in their faith, and they have to learn how to get along with each other within the church and how to further the kingdom for Christ. And we still fight that battle today, don't we? Right? We say the wrong things, we do the wrong things, we come to church with the wrong motives and so on, the wrong ideas, and we step on each other and we say things maybe to get against each other that can be hurtful and so on. And so here's what James says. So look at what he says to us here. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The word of the Lord. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here in your word today and we've read from your word, Lord, we pray you bring that word to life through your spirit. Lord, may these words be yours and not mine. And I pray for those that have gathered here today in your church and those online, Lord, may you fill them with that same spirit. Open their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive your teaching. In Jesus, I pray, amen. I'm going to give you some words this morning. Now, you heard a few from Al here this morning, but I'm going to give you a set of different words. But here's what I want you to evaluate. When you hear the word, what are you feeling inside? All right? I want you to notice, what is your mind thought? How do you react to the words that I'm going to give you this morning? That's what I want you to concentrate on, all right? So here's your first word. Snow. What's going on inside of you when you hear that word? Here's your next one. Hot chocolate. Wind chill. Right? We all love wind chill. Christmas lights. What about Christmas? Speaking of lights, somebody's playing with their light switch in back there. There we go. Thank you. Thank you very much. Eggnog. Either you love it or you hate it. Right? That's what goes on in our minds. And here's the last one. If I can get it to go here. Oh, went too far. Back up one there, please, Aaron. Christmas gifts. Tell me what kind of response came to your mind. How did your body react to the words that you heard? What's going on in your mind today with those things? Now, some of those are not very harsh, but they still evoke a response from you, don't they? Right? You have a mindset about each word that you have in your vocabulary, and you react to that word in a certain way. And a lot of times it might be from the experiences that you've had in life that cause you to react in the way that you do. And so this morning I'm going to focus on our use of words. Now notice I didn't use the word ugly words, but words. I want us to focus on that, and we'll talk about ugly words as we get into our message this morning. Because if you and I aren't careful in the way that we use our speech, our ugly thoughts, which you talked about last week, become our ugly actions and our ugly words that we use against each other in many different ways. And so I want to focus on that this morning. And so we're looking at our ugly words today. It's easy to say things to one another that are hurtful without even paying much attention to them, isn't it? And so let's go there this morning. And here's what God says to us briefly in Scripture. He says, God, He wants you and I to use words that build each other up, that encourage, that support our lives here as we live life on this earth. And did you realize this? I don't think any of you have to be taught how to use hurtful words. It's natural, isn't it? Because you and I come from a sinful state. You never have to teach a toddler bad words. You never have to teach a toddler the things that they learn at that age. And as they grow, even adults, they can come up with some harsh words. You don't have to be taught that. But what I will say to you this morning, the tongue that you have in your mouth has been given to you by God, and it can spew all kinds of things. I want you to think about that this morning. What words do you use? Because your words hold power. One of the verses I gave you this morning is Proverbs 18, verse 21. And here's what it says. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Meaning that you have to decide what kind of vocabulary you'll use, and what you use will determine how you live your life and the way that you're treated, the way that you are present in public, maybe present in your family. All those things reflect who you are by the vocabulary and the words that you use. God gives you and I an incredible responsibility in the way that we speak to each other, and that our words hold the power of life and death. And so the way that we speak to one another, it can give life or it can kill a life. Just in our words. You know, I'm reminded of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. You know, if we were to explore that commandment at a deeper level, our words are part of that. Do our words kill? The things that we say, the things that we do through our actions and our words. And we'll get into actions here down the road. But here's what I want you to go. Some of you are older. You've had some good life experience. Some of you are younger. But I want you to go back to your teenage years, your elementary years in life. And now some of you might have been hurt drastically by the things maybe people said to you. They affect the way that you grow up. But some of you might be encouraged. I remember in my childhood growing up, coaches, they talked life into you. They encouraged you. I remember my cadet leaders talking life into me and encouraging me not to only grow physically in the things that I do, but to grow spiritually. And they used words that I think resulted in where I'm at today and the way that I see life. And I don't know where you're at today in that, but you do. And you can make a choice in the midst of all those things. But I was encouraged to be my best. I was told that I was loved in my life. And that brings about success in a person's life when you hear those things, especially from older people, such as teachers and coaches and parents and Sunday school leaders and youth leaders and whoever else it might be in your life. The words that you speak. Now, I'm gonna flip the coin on you here now this morning, and I want you to think about this morning. Many people have had things said to them that have hurt their self-esteem, damaged their emotions, and maybe even holds them captive today from doing things that they should be doing, especially in the church, because maybe they've been hurt by somebody in the church. And you and I need to realize that in the church, it's no different than living in the world a lot of times by the way that we use our words. But I want to call you out on that this morning as a church, because you should be different. The words that you and I use should be different if we're going to call ourselves a Christian. I was sitting in my study this morning and I was going through this message and I thought, and this isn't even part of what I had down, but I thought, this is my thought this morning. How many of you, when you formulate your thoughts and you come up with your words, you know, how do you act in church today? Is it different than the way that you will use the words that you use tomorrow morning when you go to work? And I thought to myself, there should be no difference in the vocabulary or the words that you use from today being in church, tomorrow, or the rest of the week, wherever you find yourself. And then I got to thinking, you know what? I used to be in that workforce, and I know what that was like. And I'm going to pick on you men just a little bit here this morning, that what kind of vocabulary do you use? How many times do you use the F word in casual speech? That's what I'm talking about. Ears hear that. Young people hear that. And I may be stepping on your toes a little bit this morning, but when I hear people in church don't use those kind of things, but then I hear you out during the week use those things, then I kind of cringe, because that's where James says, that's not how that should look. No way. You should speak the same in church as you do the rest of the week. So I'm going to encourage you, men. You lead your families. You're seen as maybe leaders in your jobs or wherever you work. Watch what you're doing. That's what James wants us to look like. And I'm going to hit more on this in the end of my message here this morning. That will bring this all home. But I want you to think about that this morning. Words that give life. And here's maybe what our problem is today. Flip to the next screen here. How many Christians tend to overlook the simple truth that our words hold incredible power? If you think about that, all right? So now I want you to think about Christmas season. We're in the midst of it right now. When we're surrounded by friends and family and work parties, and there's a lot of things that are going on right now, you and I can do real damage by saying something we should keep to ourselves or by saying things that can harm our relationships, right? How many of you said the wrong thing to someone? Anybody ever done that? Right? Just a few of you. Right? Yeah, I've done it. And I'm going to be honest with you, even as a pastor and as a individual, I might have said the wrong things to even you. Because those things happen, right? We do our best, but there are going to be times and you're going to make a mistake and you're going to put your foot in the mouth or you're going to agitate somebody and those types of things. But here's what I want you to exercise as well, churchgoer. You might be the recipient of that bad word, but you also have a responsibility to do what? Forgive. Extend grace. I remember I learned that lesson so much in seminary. When we had a teacher that was being a little bit harsh in Hebrew class, we couldn't get it. And you asked a question, whoom, she'd snap back at us. And I remember we went to the dean and said, you know, this teacher, it's hard to learn under her. What must we do? And this is the first thing he said to us as a class. He says, if you want to receive grace, the first thing you need to do is you need to give grace. That was such a valuable lesson. So the next time I went to Hebrew class, we extended grace. And all of a sudden, she softened in a remarkable way. And I passed the class. That was a good feat in Hebrew. Yeah. You know what? I continue to learn those types of lessons every day. And I think that you do as well. That doesn't also mean that we don't avoid sharing the truth in certain circumstances. It doesn't mean that we avoid having those difficult conversations and being authentic with each other. It means being graceful in the words that we choose, that we use wisdom to have those conversations, that we don't hurt or offend or push people away. Right? God called us to have those conversations as well. And so your choice of words can be grace-filled or they can be ugly. And you get to decide that in the way you live your life and how you deal with people. In the book of James, we're given extensive warnings about the kind of damage our speech can do. And so he's addressing the church, like I mentioned briefly before. They're learning how to be the church. I mean, this is new to them, right? We have a lot of new people in our congregation, but most of you have been churched. Some of you have not. And I've talked to some of you that this is the first time I'm trying to figure out, what does it look like to come into church? How should I be in church? What should I say in church? Some of you have it all down because you've been living it your whole life. But others haven't, and we got to mix that whole pot together and love Christ in the midst of all those things. So the church is no different today. Because our goal is to further the kingdom. Right? That's what that should look like. That's what this early church was working for. And so James says, stop using those ugly words. Learn to control your tongue. The tongue is such a little thing, but yet it controls so much. And then he gives these references. And how many of you in here have a horse? Yeah, quite a few of you do, right? You put a bit in, you can control that horse most of the time, right? But that's what it's used for, to control that horse. What about, how many of you have a boat or you've been on a boat before, right? Just a little rudder in the back, it controls that whole boat, doesn't it? You've experienced forest fires, you've seen them on the news. And how they start from just a little spark or small campfire, and they burn thousands of acres and even thousands of homes sometimes. And the tongue is no different. You say things that create a spark, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a spot that you never wanted to be. Right? You can feel the tension going up, and whatever you said to somebody else, you feel the tension coming up. How many of you ever been there before? Where you said something and it created an issue? Right? Yeah. We've been there. We've done that. So here's a question I want to bring to you this morning. How many times has somebody said something to you that's got you angry or agitated in your life? All right? Now here's the next question I want to ask you. What is your first response in that situation? How many of you want to, I'm going to get even. I'm going to let them know what I think, right? How many have that, that's maybe our first natural response? Think about the last time maybe somebody said something to you or done something to you, and you're like, I'm going to take care of this right now. That's it, right? How many of you have had that before in your life? You don't need to raise your hand this morning. But I know you've been there, because I've been there as well, right? So here's what I want you to learn. Do not let your emotions get hijacked and say things you wish you never said. All right, I got an example for you this morning that it is a great example. If you have watched National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and I got a slide here. Do you remember when Clark received his Christmas bonus from his work? right? He'd been waiting for that bonus to come, and the guy lost it. He didn't get it there in time, and then he gets it, and he's thinking he's going to put the swimming pool in. It's going to be a big one, and then he gets a membership into what? The Jelly Roll Club or something like that? And then he goes off and he spews out all these words that I can't say over the pulpit. And then he gets done and he says, "Where's the Tylenol?" Right? See, he was emotionally hijacked because somebody came against him, offended him, hurt him, done something to him, and then he spewed all kinds of ugly words. And this is exactly what James says to us as a church. Don't go there. Learn to tame your tongue, is what he says. And I've learned over time that when you get in those situations, I don't react. I got to step back for just a little bit. And I even like to wait a day sometimes in those situations. Because if I react emotionally, it is not going to be what I want to say. And so I wait. In a harsh situation, in a tough situation, I'll go home and pray about it. I'll think about it. I'll weigh what words I'm going to say. I'll think about, okay, how am I grace-filled when I do this? All right? Now, I need to confess with you, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I do that most of the time. Because there are times in my life, even as a pastor, where something gets flipped and things, you've had that where you've had a bad day and things pile up, they pile up and they pile up, and then all of a sudden you get the next one and you're like, "That's enough." And you start lashing out, don't you? Yeah. And the ugly words come to the surface. And James says, you need to put a leash on your lips, right? You got to control it. And if you're following me in Scripture, I'm going to read James 3 to you this morning. Let's get to the next slide here. Verses 7 and 8. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So controlling one's tongue is much more difficult than controlling an animal, right? That's what it says. Controlling our words is not easy. And I'm going to be real honest with you. If you want to do a good job at controlling your words, you need to be filled with the Spirit of Christ. That's what controls who you are and how you react. That's what gives you the words to speak in those hard situations that you might find yourself in life. So I got three questions I'm going to give you this morning that we're going to go through in just a minute that will help you understand when you get into a situation and you think you might potentially become Clark Griswold. Here's what I want you to think about. Will what I'm about to say honor God? That's the first thing that you need to realize when you speak vocabulary. And if you're going to say things that will not honor God, I'm going to tell you don't say anything at all. The second thing that you need to think about in your life is that, well, what am I about to say? Honor the person I'm saying it to. Because if you're going to say something that's going to tear down, that's going to degrade, that's going to destroy, that's going to kill, James says stay away from that. Don't say those kind of things. And you know exactly what I'm talking about because we've all done it before. And here's the third one. Will what I'm about to say be something I will regret? When you go home at the end of the day and you've had some kind of a confrontation with somebody, you said something you shouldn't have said, and then you get up at 3 a.m. and you think, "Oh man, why did I say that?" Right? James says, don't even go there. Avoid that kind of trouble in your life and the way that you live. Ugly words sometimes cause damage that cannot be reversed. Be careful, is what James says. Be wise. Weigh your words. You know, ugly words become an issue this time of year. It's the Christmas season. How many of you have been out doing some shopping and maybe been to some Christmas parties already and There's that Christmas play going on in Sioux Falls right now, and there's stuff going on at the Methodist Church on Saturday nights, and all this joyous stuff is going on around us, right, as we prepare for Christmas Day to come. And here's what I think you need to be aware of. You are a representative of Jesus Christ. How you speak is noticed, especially during Advent. Because people are seeing, how are Christians acting? What are they saying? What do they see you as you mingle with crowds and as you talk and the words that you use? And I want to just bring up one area here because, you know, in the Christmas story, we know that Joseph and Mary, they had a donkey. But I want to know how many of you act like the back half of that donkey during Christmas season. Right? Yeah, because the world is watching. And what the world sees, do they see a Christian that's full of joy and they're using encouraging words and they're positive? Or do they see a Christian that is using words that tears down, separates, pushes away harsh things? What do they see in you, right? How do they see you as you live life? And so here's the problem with that. You know, we're singing these Christmas hymns this last few weeks, and we're lighting the Advent candles, and somewhere along the line we're going to sing Holy Night, and, you know, we're reverent, and we got it together, and everything like that. And then you and I go out, and we say the ugly things. And James says, you can't have both. You can't praise God and have all these joyous things, and then you go and curse my creation on Tuesday? He said, that doesn't work. You can't bring the both things out of the same mouth. It's either one or the other. And so here's how I'm going to get a little harsh on you guys again today. That if that's you and you're spewing things during the week, and it's harsh and it's ugly and those types of things, I wonder about your faith journey. How close to God are you that you can praise God but yet curse his creation? Because in Scripture it says clearly in James that if you curse creation, you're essentially cursing God. And are his people his creation? By all means, they are. Yeah. Do you see it? Do you get it? That neighbor you don't like? That coworker you have a hard time dealing with? God says, I made them. I love them. Even though they act like the back half of the donkey sometimes, your job is to love them and use words that encourage and build up, is what he says. That's what he wants from you and I. James 3, verse 9 and 10, and the back half of 9 of 10. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And he says, this should not be. So churchgoer, believer, you can't have it both ways, is what he says. Let me share this last point with you here this morning. The words that we use, they're a window into our hearts. The verse out of Luke, you got it on your screen here this morning. Let me just read part of that. A good person brings good things out of the good stored up in his or her heart. Right? An evil person brings evil things out of his or her heart by the words that you choose to use. So let me explain that to you this morning. Maybe you find yourself where you'd maybe like to use ugly words more than you'd like to. And how do you get rid of that? How do you change that? And so here's some suggestions I want to make, is that you need to have you have a heart condition. And you need your heart changed. And only God can change that. But here's what I want you to think about. How often have you and I spoken from a broken heart that lashes out at others? Okay, now I'll just throw a few things past you here this morning. Because sometimes we speak out of a heart that's been hurt, hasn't it? Because of the world you and I live in. And I'm just going to tell you that that's not going to cease. That's going to continue to happen to the day that the Lord calls you home. Some of us might speak from a bitter heart in our lives because of the things that have gone on in our lives. Some of us might speak from a jealous heart because we don't have what we thought we'd have by now. And so we speak against people that maybe have more than us. Some of us might speak from an anxious heart because we're nervous and we're scared and we don't understand what's going on. And we speak those ugly words in our lives. And so this is what it looks like. That means that you and I need to take a look inside our lives. We got to look at our hearts. And so if you want to, this is what I want you to do. And if you're not here, hold on just for a minute. I want you to speak from a heart that's in love with God and in love with people. That's what your life should look like. That's what it should be about. And if it's not, then ask God to change your heart, to give you the words to speak, to soften it. Let me say this too. How many of you find it easy to lash out at those you love the most? A spouse, children, close family, right? Usually we'll hurt the ones we love the most with our ugliest words. But if you ask Christ to change your heart and you allow him to do that, the first people that are going to see that will be your spouse, will be your children, your grandchildren, and others around you. They'll be the first to notice that God is doing something different in your life, if you ask. So I don't know where you find yourself this morning and what's going on, but I'm going to ask you to take a look at your heart and what kind of words are you using in your life. So I have some homework for you. Right? Like, homework? All right, here it is. I want you to choose one person who needs to hear positive words from you this week. I don't know who that person is. And maybe you need to pray about who that person is, because maybe you don't know yet. All right? Or you might come across a situation this week that, that's my person. But I want you to see how God can work through that. I want you to see how maybe it changes the relationship of maybe where you're at. Some of you already have that person in mind. You're going, oh, really? I gotta say nice things to them? And I want to say yes. Because that's what James is telling you and I. Speak words of encouragement. Build each other up. All right? That's what I want you to do this week. And if you're lacking that, pray that God will fill you with the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. Pray for those things if you think you're lacking that in those situations. Ask God for help. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, our ugly words sometimes can get out of control. Lord, we don't always have the ability to control that tongue, but we pray that you give us the Spirit to do so. Lord, give us the hearts that will go to the places that you want us to go as we live life. Lord, may we choose our words wisely. May you give us grace in those situations. Lord, give us wisdom to handle the circumstances that we'll encounter throughout the week. Lord, it's easy to do here on Sunday morning, but yet when Wednesday afternoon comes and things fall apart, what do we look like then? Lord, that's what we pray for. May your Spirit fill us and lead us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.